Hi, I'm Bran, and I love freebie Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise freebie Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and freebie Christmas movies are worth every penny you paid, and this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Deck the Hallmark, it's his podcast. Brandon and friends host his podcast. We hope you like this jolly podcast.
So about 2 months ago, if I can pull back the curtain real quick, about 2 months ago, we were watching older episodes of Deck the Hallmark on Philo, which you can do as well, philo.tv/gth, and they were episodes where we were wearing shorts, and I said, never again.
We had a long talk
we
about
said,
never
this
again.
Is the, we
it's
look,
what you swore the time before.
Yes. We look awful. I mean, and by we, I mean I.
No, we both
specifically
look bad in shorts. It's not a good look for either one of us, Brandon.
And I said never.
And then today, and you then forgot we were recording an episode.
So what happened was on Friday's episode when we interviewed Tamara, I woke up in the morning and I knew it was going to be hot outside, and I was like, "We're not recording anything today. It's going to be great." So I wore shorts that day, and I was like, "We got Tamara today of all the days, to break my pact with myself,
your pants streak."
And once you break the pants streak with Tamara, it's not like I'm going to put pants back on for Alonzo. Like at this point, when you're here, you're family.
They're good enough for Tamara. They're good enough for Alonzo.
That's exactly right. So for everybody watching on Philo, you're welcome.
Look, you got great stems. You got to share those gams with the world.
I'm putting on a show.
Yeah.
I think clear.
You're a stumbling block, Brandon.
I'd say.
I think the scooter has really built up your calves.
If he was riding a scooter, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's all the bike pedaling he's been doing. On his electric bike.
You have to pedal. You still have to pedal.
Yeah, okay, buddy.
It's like it literally won't move without it. Mm. I'm just saying, I'm doing more pedaling than you're doing.
You think so?
Yeah, how often are you pedaling?
Who knows? You don't know.
Go pedal your papers.
Alonzo, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. I am. The first draft of the book is done and submitted and off of my desk, and a literal weight has left me. So that's just been lovely.
Do you know when pre-order is pre-order out? When does that happen?
Not pre-ordering yet. Probably toward the end of this year, maybe beginning of 2024. It's coming out in the spring of 2024. The idea is to be ready to hit the ground running for like all the Pride celebrations next summer.
Yes.
Love it.
I love it. Fantastic. Well, congratulations, buddy. I know that's,
thank you.
It's been a long time coming. And you celebrated by watching Hotel for the Holidays. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
You said, I know.
It's a celebration.
I know just what to do now that I have completed this. Head on over to Freevee.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. Hotel for the Holidays, December 2nd, 2022 is when it dropped. And it went a little something like this. Georgia is a manager. Is a manager of a New York City hotel. They established the heck out of New York City.
Yeah, they do.
And then
even
do
they're not in it.
Nothing with
that's
it.
Right.
And they really do it up for Christmas, though. I will give the hotel that. Luke is a chef at this hotel, and George is a big fan of Luke because of how much he does to kind of help the hotel thrive, and also he's good to look at, I would say. I think that's fair to say. The two do seem to have a spark. Their conversation, though, at the beginning is cut short when a hotshot named Pandora shows up. Then out of nowhere, Prince Raymond shows up, except he quit that prince life. He said, not for me.
I'm abdicating.
I'm out of you. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
It's an abdication.
It's an abdication.
So those, for now, are the players that we have.
Come on.
Georgia has a video call with the owner of the hotel to pitch buying another hotel and do like a French-style hotel, which we all know those. We love them. And they're going to let her run it. And she says, no. Well, if you come up with half the money, then we'll do it. So she's like, where am I going to get that kind of money? my parents are immigrants. And so obviously her and Luke chat about it on the roof. The sparks are just flying. The next day, though, Prince Raymond asks her to show him the city, New York. What is it? And so she jumps at the opportunity so that she can pitch the hotel to him. This isn't about getting to date. It's not a date situation. It's, hey, I can show him New York. And in the process,
I can show you the world.
Oh, my gosh.
Funny you should mention that.
And so Prince Raymond is like, I hear your idea. I appreciate your idea, but I don't think I want to invest just yet. But maybe we should talk over dinner. So while all that's happening, Luke is like out at the market buying bread, sees the two of them together and is sad. He's like, oh, I didn't know that was happening. George's best friend, and I think maybe she works at the hotel, Kiki, spends the day with Pandora. Pandora is trying to blend in with the people so she can kind of like be around the people, understand what people are about, and that will help her with her songwriting because she's in a bit of a slump writing relatable music. And so I'm not currently positive as I'm writing this how important that storyline is. If
she wants to do what common people do.
That's exactly right. If yeah. If throughout the next few minutes I talk a lot about that, you'll know it's important. Georgia asked Luke if he'd make dinner for her and the prince, and Luke is like, I'll show you. I'll make pizza. Nothing romantic about pizza. Burn. Except there is. Pizza is romantic because Prince Raymond's never had pizza. He's always wanted pizza. This is the best day ever. He's going nuts about that pizza, and rightfully so. Raymond eventually says yes-ish to the deal. While all of that's going on, Pandora is doing things. There's a missing dog as well, and the guy finds it and brings it back. They'll fall in love. There's also an older guy who's rocking a scarf, and except it wasn't meant for him. So that will...
We have reduced entire plot lines
the random girl
Mad
that...
Mad Lib sentences.
And then there's a random girl that's the scarf that yep. She meant for another guy, and that guy's going to propose to her at the end of the movie. So much going on.
You call Victor by his name.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Does any of it matter? Who
yes.
can say? Who can say? But here's what I know. The hotel crew is now getting together. They are planning the Jingle Mingle. Is that what it's called? The Jingle
yeah,
Mingle?
Yeah, the Jingle Mingle. Yes.
And they find a brochure that Georgia has created and printed out and left around that basically says, hey, I'm leaving you for another hotel. This hotel doesn't exist yet, but that doesn't matter. They are very hurt. They threaten to stone her to death. And she's like, oh, man, this is the worst. She goes to look at a space and gets stuck in that space while the Jingle Mingle is going on. So the crew, the hotel crew, just does the Jingle Mingle and crushes it. Everybody's having a great time. She ends up getting out of the place she was stuck in, comes back, and is like, man, this hotel crew is incredible. Why would I ever leave them? I think to self. She then goes up to Luke. They talk and they kiss. Weird ones. Raymond hears Pandora sing a song. And he's like, this is amazing. Your song about wanting to leave royalty or something is what made me want to not be a prince anymore. We should
the
go out.
The song titled, Hey, You Get Off My Throne.
Hey, You Get Off My Throne.
The one. That's the one.
The hotel owner comes in and says that she wants Georgia to basically run this hotel now. And she's like, dope, let's do that. Ron Oliver is there as well, and that's good. And then her and Luke, they kiss again by the Christmas tree, and we're all better for it. And that, my friends, was Hotel for the Holidays.
We did it.
A Ron Oliver joint we forgot to mention. How about that? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll review this movie with four segments here on Deck the Hallmark. Hallmark. Welcome back, everybody. It's like the Hallmark. It is Monday. It is Christmas Day here when we go back to 2022 and review a Christmas movie we didn't get to last year. We finally made it to Freevee for the holidays, Riverdale, Aladdin, The Sort. Let's find out what we think about this movie. I will start with Alonzo. Alonzo, Hotel for the Holidays, yay, nay, somewhere in between.
Wow. Well, Ron Oliver, as you mentioned, friend of the program, has made some of the best made for cable Christmas movies in the past. This is not one of them. This to me felt like, let's get Ron Oliver and make him make a movie with one hand tied behind his back, in terms of budget, in terms of casts. There's a lot working against him here, and I think he's giving it his best shot, but wow, not fun.
This is the Mad Money don't buy equivalent. Not fun.
Here's my thing with this movie is, why so much of it? Why so much of the people? Why so much of the stories? I felt like every 15 minutes, like an alarm went off and they were like, let's introduce a new love story. And you're supposed to keep up with all of them and care about all of them. And I'm just not capable of that kind of commitment. So just okay for me. I thought Riverdale and Aladdin did just fine. Apart from that, it was just a lot of trying to keep up. And I know it's a Freevee movie. How hard can it be? You watch it. You try. You try it.
Yeah, if you were listening to Brand's synopsis, imagine like watching the movie with him.
Well, I'm just like, I'm so used to just focusing on two characters and they just wouldn't let you. They wouldn't let you. They're like, how dare you only want to care about Aladdin? We refuse.
You didn't even talk about the bartender.
Oh, the bartender.
Yeah. We throw around a term that I think we made up. I know we made it up, actually, on this show. And that term is hodgepodge beluga.
Yeah.
That is, if you are listening and you hear us say that we made that up. We did years ago, Brandon and I did. It was a different bit for a different day. But we made it
good
up.
Good day, good bit.
It was a good day, good bit. And I feel like if it was a real term and there was a dictionary full of terms and you could look it up, you would find this movie, which is just, by the time we get to the H or I storylines, I think it starts to lose a little bit. In 84 minutes, there are 8 or 9 storylines. It's like Stefan and SNL was like, this movie has everything. It has bad French accents. It has Chef Aladdin. It has Silent Bodyguards. It has, hey, you get off my throne. Like, it's got, like, it is just patently absurd that there is this much movie with nothing happening. It is 84 minutes that are jam full, brim to brim, with what is going on. It is a hodgepodge beluga if I've ever seen one.
Hodgepodge beluga. Yeah.
So it is that. And it also, there's a storyline where the bartender and the maintenance guy fall in love and she could be his mom. Like, it is the, like, everything about this movie is wild. It is a crazy, crazy movie where so much happens and still manages to be bad. And boy,
should be a teen mom, but a mom nonetheless. Yes,
boy, is it a bad movie.
I have a theory, which is that I kind of disagree with Brand. I don't think that Riverdale and Aladdin make a very good couple. And I think that the movie keeps throwing other stuff at them to not have them have more scenes together because they aren't very good.
No, well, I liked them until there
aren't very many scenes with them. Yeah, so when the big romance happens, then you're like, have y'all met? Like, what's even going on?
I will say in the running for worst kiss. I will say that.
Yeah,
tough kiss.
But I also feel like Ron Oliver did not write this one. Normally he writes and directs. He didn't write this one, but it felt like he wanted to bring like a really old, like screwball comedy style feel to it. And I'm sorry, is 84 minutes. You got more plot lines than Love Actually. Like, you're not, like, I'm serious. Like, the bartender and the maintenance man, the Victor and the secret admirer, the dude and the dog who finds the guy that runs a pet store, the bodyguard, turns out he's in love with the assistant of the pop star,
of Pandora,
who's in love with the prince, who also, you have Riverdale and Aladdin, and I know I'm missing one somewhere in there. Oh, Riverdale and the prince, their storyline, and then the hotel.
The dog, didn't you dog?
I did dog.
Victor and the concierge and the grumpy Santa.
It's oh yeah, 10. There are 10 plot lines in this movie.
Here's a question for you. Do you think that maybe every day on set they said, let's try another?
Yeah, just throw another one out there.
We got like, this is almost a relationship per day of shooting.
Do you think somebody's agent got mad because their actor was 37 on the call sheet? Like, what are we doing?
What if we make a movie where 7 people work in a New York hotel and by the end of the film, they all are in a couple?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, somehow, yeah. Some way.
Let's get to feels, where we talk about the feels we had. Alonzo?
I had a couple. Mainly just there were occasional lines of dialogue that grabbed me. I loved when the pop star is pretending to be a regular folk and the woman hands her a gingerbread man. She says, I'm pretty sure this is nothing but sugar and baked lard. And the woman says, yeah, that's what Christmas is all about. Like, I'm like, yes, yes, it is. the joke about Monsieur, a monster, made me laugh.
Made me laugh hard, yeah, Alonzo.
Favorite joke of the year.
I wrote it down as my
so
feels.
Bad.
I about died.
Look, the standards get lowered in these movies, and so it's like, I'll take it. I will take a little bit of wordplay
here.
It
was awful.
And finally, the doggy gaze. Again, I've said this before. Like, I'm not jaded about this yet in these movies. I love an occasional reminder that, yes, I too am invited to this party. So are they wildly extraneous into a movie that is already overstuffed? Sure. Yes. Why not? But if we're already going to have like 18 romances, why not have one of them be two dudes
Two of them are, because the bodyguard.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's also, at the last minute, dog.
But, yeah, but also, on the chemistry scale, they're not at the bottom of that list. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these couples that are all getting together, it's from like ranking them by the level of extraneous. You know what I mean? Like, by like the need, they're not at the bottom of that list.
You could do worse.
Yeah.
Doggy Gaze, amazing live, by the way. Phenomenal. They had them right up like right.
They played a cover of "Hey You Get Off My Throne."
Yeah,
it was just
and they.
You should take a Claritin first.
They played at Coachella, and not a lot of people went. And I just implore you next year,
don't miss out on Doggy Gaze.
Stage seven.
Stage seven.
That's where the seven.
Sometimes that's exactly are. Right. You got to know them, but you got to find them.
That's right.
I want to do the line. Yes, amazing. But I. There are few things that get me more than an overly decorated inn or a hotel. Like, it just works for me. It just makes me feel so happy. Like, every year I go up to Asheville and go to the Grove Park and look at the gingerbread houses and see all the I just love it. I'm a big fan of hotels at Christmas. And so this one was decorated and it made me happy. Dan?
Yeah, Ron Oliver never under Christmases us. Like, any movie he ever directs has more than enough Christmas in it. And this one is no exception, which we'll get to it later. I'm sure Bran will take this. Even the secret stairwell is decorated stem to stern. So that I will give this movie that for a movie, like for these 84-minute Christmas movies, if you're looking for Christmas feels, for as much bad as we've said about the movie, you could do a lot worse from a Christmas feels standpoint.
And we have. There's been the amount of Monday movies we've had this year that we've been like barely
Christmas movies. Yeah, exactly.
This is not one of those.
No.
Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back with the wait what and the... We'll get it. Here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back. Alonzo?
You got anything?
You got anything?
I saw free VH1. I can't set me free V. I don't know.
It's not free V. It's HBO.
free V advice. Yeah. I don't know.
We're free V will and free V you want.
Free V fallen.
Free V to do what you want.
Free V to do what you want.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Free V to be you and me. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's do the wait what's first, and then we'll get to
free
that.
Free V and Dupree.
There it is. Why not? Let's get to the wait what. Alonzo, anything in this movie make you go wait what?
Oh, golly, a couple things. First of all, and this is sort of like kind of baked into the whole movie. On the one hand, we're meant to understand that this is a grand old-fashioned hotel that has seen better days. The electricals are having problems and there's, you know, all these things going
the
wrong.
Electricals?
You know, the power.
The electricity. You know, the electricals.
The power goes out. The lights aren't working.
The electricals open for doggy gays. I'm almost positive.
That's true. Yeah. Anyway, Milton is always fixing stuff. So the idea that this is sort of be kind of a rundown hotel and yet attracts an abdicated prince and a hot pop star. So it's like, which is it?
Yes.
Let's pick one. Manager.
Yep.
The giant name tag that says manager that is passed from person to person like it's the conch in Lord of the Flies.
But all of the name tags are just what they are. Manager, staff. For a movie that is so much about people.
No.
Not this place. No. This place your identity doesn't matter.
It is every day you come in and they just spin a roulette wheel to see who gets what job. Today, your manager. I'm Mr. Manager.
Give you a barcode while they're at it. That's right. Who even knows?
You don't know how many of those have been fired. How many managers we've gotten rid of already.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah. We are meant to know that Aladdin and his headbands is in love with Riverdale because he slaves over making her lunch every day and like goes out of his way to make sure that it's really great. He brings her to this like, it's supposed to be like a truffle oil grilled cheese sandwich that has like a question of chives or something. Nice. And she is like holding on to it with both hands and they're having a conversation. And all I'm thinking is, you don't hold a grilled cheese sandwich that way or your hands are going to be swathed in butter, you know, and like maybe she's got dry skin, she's gonna rub it in later. But it's like if he's got a truffle oil grilled cheese sandwich, that is getting that is oily. And if it's truffles, now your hands smell like the soil. So.
That's the rest of your day.
That's it. Yeah. You're shot.
So it's one of those things like when you see actresses in movies who have been asked to like vacuum or wash dishes and they've never done that or haven't done it in decades. And it's like you're watching going, that's no, Jane Fonda, you got to rinse the soap off or that's you're going to give everybody diarrhea. Anyway, so she has the Zoom conversation with a French boss lady and French boss lady has this background that's supposed to be like the beach. And it looks like a fake Zoom background that somebody would have on a Zoom call. And then somebody walks into the frame. It's like, oh no, no, no. This is supposed to be that she's actually at the beach.
I thought it was fake too.
I thought it was fake. And then the dude walks in and I was like, they're trying to pass this off as actual beach here.
I still don't know though. I don't know. I don't know one way or the other. Like,
I think it is confirmed by the fact that all the rooftop scenes involve such terrible green screens.
Yeah, it's just a soundstage. Yeah, it took Brandon a little bit to figure that one out. Sorry.
Speaking of the roof, it's New York in December.
Yeah. I'd love to eat outside.
Is there wind? Does she feel the need to cover her shoulders? No, not at all. Let's eat outside because it's, you know, June and there's a roof over our heads.
And the ideal time if you're into that is 8 p.m. when it's dark.
Definitely. Dinner outside.
It's the city that never sleeps, you guys.
That's right.
As Dan pointed out, at one point the prince needs a subtle secret way to get in and out of the hotel. On paper, he is shown the secret delivery staircase that he can use to get in and out of the building. What the film decides to show us is a grand curved stairwell with festooned with greenery and holly and ribbons and all that stuff. It's like, nobody is delivering anything up a curved staircase.
Everybody, it's a wide spiral staircase. Yeah. And she has the gall to utter the line, not many know about these stairs.
Bring the piano in and bring it up the curved staircase. That's right. This is where we take deliveries. Yeah.
Just make sure you lift with like a twisting back motion too. Like, are you kidding me right now? It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God. So, okay, Pandora and is it Jimothy? Is that her assistant's name? Check into the presidential suite, and the guy on the radio talks about how her new single is tanking because, of course, people on the radio always talk about the songs they're not playing.
That's right, all the time.
Yes. You know, we've all been there. So that for sure. Aladdin says he's going out to get groceries for the hotel. Is he going to Costco and coming back with a pallet of things? Is he getting cases of produce? No, he is getting one grocery bag with the requisite one baguette sticking out of it.
Organic, baby. It's the only way to go.
For sure, yes, because he's got, you know, he's very demanding that way. But also, he's bringing it back to what is essentially someone's suburban kitchen.
Correct.
It's not a hotel, like people yelling, lots of space, industrial. No. This is cabinets and, like, one marble counter kitchen. Aladdin wants to apologize for the pizza incident, so he makes a sandwich for Riverdale.
Yeah.
This sandwich is larger than head.
It's a character in and of itself.
It's at least a 6-pound sandwich.
It has its own zip code.
I love to eat more than just about anyone I know. And that sandwich looked like it was too much sandwich.
That man versus food's not touching that. Forget about it, guys.
The bottom bun on this sandwich is a loaf of bread. It is an abomination. I don't even know if some of the things on there were food. There's no way he didn't have enough groceries in that bag for that sandwich. It is absurd. It is colossal.
Someone in the chat would like to nominate the sandwich for a Deki.
Yeah.
If we need to create a new best prop, whatever, I'm not against it.
God, you know, and it winds up in the hands of the bartender. And so for the whole rest of the movie, whenever she's like upset or feeling down, I thought, oh, I shouldn't finish that sandwich. Why did I cut it in half and put part of it in the fridge? What was I thinking?
If anyone could finish that sandwich in a sitting, I would like to shake their hand. That would be impressive.
Yeah, you get the t-shirt, I think.
That's like a full thing. Yeah, picture on the wall.
Give me the whole restaurant. Like, I'm not just doing that for a t-shirt.
Take it to the homeless shelter for like everyone there. That's right. Like, that's how big this
is after Jesus made the 5 loaves and 2 fishes for the 5,000 people. Cannot
duplicate the sandwich.
This is unbelievable. Even past
me. Could Jesus make a sandwich so big that even he can't lift it?
That he couldn't eat it? You never know.
One of the great ongoing questions in philosophy, right? The big dramatic turn of this movie is that everybody at the hotel finds out that Riverdale wants to go work somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. Like that's the whole thing. Like it's this as though this were a workplace sitcom in its 7th season.
That's right.
How dare you want to leave? Yeah. It's like people come and go from jobs all the time. Yeah. That whole idea of like we're family is usually a way of like people trying to pay you less. Like don't fall for it, y'all. Don't fall for the pizza party and the foosball. Get paid. So that just struck me as ridiculous.
None of us have been in that situation before.
No, heavens Alonzo, no.
Not me, not Brandon, not Aaron. None of us. We've always taken the money and not the pizza.
Ideally, you know, you at least ask for the money. That's what's important. And then the whole thing with Victor and the engagement is like, I barely knew they knew each other.
I thought it was a secret admirer thing.
It's a hell of a scarf, obviously, if it made him like get down on one knee. And it was a hell of a scarf because dude was wearing it the entire movie from the moment that he opened the box. In fact, when the girl asks for it back so that she can give it to the intended giftee, I thought, oh, you got, are these crumbs? Did you drool on this?
I like to think that he saw the maintenance guy wearing that scarf and he just thought to himself, I would marry any woman that would give me a scarf like that.
I mean, it is so hard to find a solid red scarf in New York at Christmas time. I mean, those things, rare.
You really got to know what you're doing to yeah. find those babies.
Mm-hmm. You took a lot of mine, Alonzo. I will yeah, just quickly piggyback off of the everyone being mad at her for the other job thing. This movie is weirdly anti-entrepreneurial. Like, she is wanting to raise money to basically co-own a hotel.
Go on
and everyone's like, screw you. How dare you?
Just toe the company line. Better.
She like even makes a note of like her parents are immigrants. Like, they came here so she can have a better life. The American dream. Be an entrepreneur. No! Stay here forever! How dare you?
Well, these movies tend to take the progress is bad route. You know, yes. How dare you tear down the bookstore to put in, you know, a parking garage. Even in this one, it's like, ooh, apps, you idiot. Now you're going to be stuck in a hotel. Serves you right. But yeah, that's taking it a bit far.
Yeah.
And so the solution here is at the end of the movie, she goes from manager to executive director, which begs the question, who's that? Like, who is doing that?
Yeah. I just had written down,
what's it mean for it?
The current executive director of the Hotel Fontaine is about to get fired on Christmas Eve.
Look, titles is up there with foosball table. It's just a thing that they do
what is
to
it?
Not pay you.
So no one was doing it. No one was doing it, is what you're saying.
I think it's just a fancier title of manager, I think. There's a humdinger of a line.
She gets a new name tag, I bet.
She does get a new name tag, and that is really exciting.
Yeah.
Aladdin gives one humdinger of a line. he goes up to her on Christmas Day, has a box with an ornament on it. They do the whole thing, and he says, I have a lot I want to say to you, but for now, will Merry Christmas do? I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's a start, but why not just, can we not have the conversation?
A lot of what I wanted to say to you was swallowed up by plot lines K and J. I'm going to have to just say Merry Christmas.
There's a lot I want to say to you, but I guess just Merry Christmas is going to have to do for now. We'll get to it eventually. I don't know. What else? I don't know. That was a weird thing to say. And last but not least, we talk about just, you know, the giant stairwell contrasting with the small kitchen, contrasting with the lobby that is just beautiful. You have an ex-prince, a pop star staying there. And then at the end of this movie, they go to an exterior shot and they pan up.
This is the number one.
This is two, maybe three stories tall.
It is a three story building.
On either side of this hotel are larger buildings. It is the smallest building on the block.
It's called the Hotel Fontaine in Manhattan. And they are like pristine. And then at the end of this movie, I honestly thought we'd been punked.
It's going up, and you just go to air.
Maybe, there's nothing there.
Maybe it's the Canadian flag.
While you're
at. Maybe it's the Ron Oliver of it all. But I was expecting the Plaza, and they just go, and that's it.
Like a 15-20 story. Nope, just three.
Just three.
Just a classic Red Roof Inn situation here. No need to move along.
Now I want to go back and check all the room numbers that she gives to Milton at the beginning and find out. Wait, there's no fifth floor of this. What are you talking about?
Unbelievable. I was so sad.
And the giant sandwich were both real high up on the list.
Dano?
Both of you have mentioned that the big problem is she's leaving her job to go to another one, and that's the big crux of this. But both of you left out that the reason that they find out about this is because this woman created a trifold brochure for a hotel that doesn't exist.
In full color,
just so she can put executive director, my name on it. There is no other reason for that brochure to exist. The French lady's not there. There is no reason to have those made.
Have you never heard of the expression pamphlet for the job you want?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pitch deck. The French don't know it. Pitch deck means they don't have the ability to want it online. They need to make a paper. Can I get a paper trifold, please? Make up the name. Act like it already exists.
Double-sided.
Go for it. I just, why? And then if you're that worried about it, why are you leaving the literal one copy of that laying around in your office? I like, That is terrible, man. That's really, really bad. We didn't get to it, unfortunately, in the synopsis. I don't think. Maybe you did. But at the end of this movie, they casually make the maintenance guy the manager of the hotel.
That's true.
And I am not here to tell you that people can't do stuff. You can shoot for the stars, do what you want to do, but typically you hire someone to manage a grand hotel with some sort of experience managing.
He's done it for a quarter of the movie.
And
he was main manager.
And they just
and make he did a great job.
He's Mr. Manager. They just make him Mr. Manager. Just like
after three floors tight.
Yeah. Kiki makes him manager, and then I guess the place didn't burn down.
His mom / love interest will be very, very proud of him.
And I'll tell you, I was actually happy to see her because
she's wonderful.
That is a familiar Jane Springsteen, I believe his name, the familiar face from these movies.
She's wonderful in the movies, and so is he. He's been in these movies before, but there's like a decade and a half. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What else do I got? Oh yeah. This prince wants to lay low for a while. And the thing he thinks he needs to do to lay low is date a pop star. He's had it with the paparazzi and the media. What if I date a pop star? Like, what if Prince Harry was like, what if I dated Lady Gaga? What if I did that? I want to lay low and date the Lady Gaga. That's what's happening here. But the big circle we need to circle here is this is on a board of bad accents, in a world where we've seen a lot of bad accents, this French accent has to be near or at the top of the list. It was brutal. And it's better because you get the Zoom background, but it is like a French accent that Bran or myself would do just around at the office for fun.
Give me the trifle.
Do you want to run the hotel? The hotel? I will make you executive director.
This brochure makes a very good case.
That's right. The phone is ringing. Like, it's basically Inspector Clouseau.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought that the ex-prince was doing a bad British accent, and then I looked him up, and he is British.
Oh, no! Yeah. No. This accent was
I've been told I do a bad English as well, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, your American is spotty.
You're American. That's right.
More than fair.
That's right.
More than fair.
You've probably not listened to yesterday's ride episode, Alonzo, but he said
last Wednesday's
when I say yesterday, you know what I mean.
Of course.
He says those was bad bus rides.
And I'm sure those was.
Those was bad bus rides. They
Thank
was.
You.
They
See, was, Alonzo gets me.
They was bad.
Alonzo lets me live in my little world where what I say makes sense, and he's fine with that, and I appreciate that.
I make space for you.
Thank you.
Bus rides is bad. Bus rides is bad.
Yes, is.
Yeah.
Yes, it
on
is.
Ride, especially.
Especially on ride, anything goes. It's time for what did we come
One
up with?
One episode of Ride or this movie to watch.
This again. Movie?
Yes.
Easy.
And it's double the length.
Easy.
It's double
Easy.
The length.
Free, what is it? Free V, Me, and Dupree?
Free V and Dupree.
Free V and Dupree. Like Why it. Not? It's where we talk about where in this movie should Dupree end up, but also any questions that we still have. Alonzo?
Yeah, wow. Welcome to the Hotel HR Nightmare. It's a lovely place and you can never leave. Again, literally, there are 7 staff members in this movie. And by the end of the film, the executive director is going to be sleeping with the chef. The new manager is going to be sleeping with the bartender. The assistant maintenance person is sleeping with the assistant chef. And the concierge is connected with the snarky Santa on the sidewalk who maybe has some connection to the actual place. I don't know. But anyway, it just all seems like this is a fire waiting to happen.
Yeah. No, for sure. HR would
figuratively or literally.
Both and sitch.
So at the end of this movie, Kiki is talking to the new manager, and she has a piece of paper on a clipboard with words on it. And she like circles some of them and says, I've got all these ones, and then circles another one and says, I think this one's fine. What is she talking about exactly? I don't know if it's like, hey, let's debrief real quick about the Jingle Mingle. I've got these ones. I think this one's fine. I don't know.
A reference to the whole her whole 12 Days of Christmas shtick that she the whole movie.
No, it's the end of the movie at this point.
That, oh, then I got.
It's Christmas Day. He's just now manager, and she says, "I got to tell you something. I've got these ones. I think this one's fine. Right, I think this one's fine. I think this one's fine.
It's very, maybe it's like they're going to cook all the geese.
Yeah,
it's like something background actors would be doing.
Yeah, see, I've got this one.
Yeah,
move this one. 34. This one
here, carry the
hot
one.
Hot hike.
Omaha.
Watermelon, cantaloupe.
Dana?
Yeah, I have two. One is I would like to hear the song, Hey You Get Off My Throne.
Oh,
is it just like a Hey You Get Off My Cloud cover? Is it a different song altogether? I don't know what it is. But my bigger one is that the creepy Santa outside there, he's pocketing all that money, right? Like, he's taking every dime of that money. Yeah. No one in charity is getting that, right? Mm. Right? Correct.
I would ask for a license for that cat before putting a dime in that bucket.
For sure.
More than fair. Mm-hmm. We did, everybody. Congratulations. Another Monday, another Christmas movie. Another week closer to Christmas, if you can believe it. Up next, we are heading back to network television, going to CBS to hang out with our friend Neil Bledsoe.
Oh, boy.
With Must Love Christmas. Now, when I put this on the list, it was streaming for free somewhere, but now you have to rent it. So there's that. But what won't we do for Neil Bledsoe is the answer.
That's right. And if you watch it because of us, we'll send you a check. I'm just kidding. We won't do it.
What is it? Must Love Christmas. Very excited about that.
I think I actually saw this one.
So. Ooh.
Yeah.
I love that.
The things I will do for Neil Bledsoe.
No kidding. We did, everybody. Congratulations. We'll be back tomorrow with another one. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast is produced by Aaron Shea.
What?
For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on the Deck the Hallmark family, you can go to bramblejamplus.com. Deck the Hallmark is presented by Philo TV. For a free trial of Philo, go to philo.tv/DTH.